Blog Talk Radio.
This is Your Well Discovered, and my name is David Ewan from EPN. Welcome to Your Well Discovered. My guest today is Apostle Bernard Bolton, and his book, Why I Left the Traditional Denominational Church, is a real-life account of Apostle Bernard Bolton and his eventual departure from the denomination he had been a member of. The book shows that the spiritual warfare that he encountered as he shifted into prophetic reality and the revelation of the apostolic nature of God. Once again, our guest today is Apostle Bernard Bolton, and he is the author of Why I Left the Traditional Denominational Church. And once again, Bernard, Apostle Bernard Bolton, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David. I am really excited to be on. Thank you for this opportunity.
You are welcome. I'm excited, Apostle, to have you on the program. And let's talk about your book. Let's talk about the seed that planted the development of it. And you talked about that you had left a denomination. There was that experience and the calling. What led to the book?
Well, I left just this year. I actually resigned from the church in February. My last Sunday, ironically, was my birthday. I turned 49 on that same day. And I knew that one day I would tell this story because part of what I do, part of my identity as an apostle is also a scribe, one who records, writes, and releases what God is saying. And I've done that through several books that I've written. But I heard I felt an urgency from Holy Spirit who told me that I would write the book now. That was in June. And I was kind of floored because it was so soon after my departure. But I obeyed Holy Spirit and I set aside 21 days to write the book. I have this system of writing where I devote a certain amount of time within a month to write the book. And so I set 21 days to write the book. I was finished in 14 days and we released it at the end of August. And so I do believe with the kind of responses that I've been getting, persons buying the book, some have reviewed it. I'm hopeful others are going to review it. That this message it really speaks to a Rhema season that the body of Christ is in. God is doing a new thing. And one of the new things that he's doing, he's calling people out of traditional churches, those churches that will not embrace the new wineskin that God is forming or embrace the kingdom, because the church, really the kingdom is so much larger than the church. And that's the reality that I had to come into, is that many churches are dying and the people are dying who remain attached to those religious systems.
Now, you had mentioned that you had set aside 21 days to put the book together. Were you going through a Daniel fast at the time?
I wasn't. I wasn't fasting. No, sir.
Okay. Okay. I was thinking about the 21 days of the Daniel fasting.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about, now that we understand the book a little bit more, tell us a little bit more about the calling that you have now following the release of the book.
Well, my call is primarily that of an apostle. And I know that in itself can be controversial. What is an apostle? I thought the apostles walked with Jesus. There are no apostles today. I've heard all of that. But the call for me as an apostle is a mentoring, fathering calling. It carries an anointing to build the people of God. It really operates out of Ephesians 4:11, where Jesus said, I gave some to be apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors for the edifying of the body, for the equipping of the saints. And so primarily that's what I do through actually a ministry that I started while I was still pastoring. It was in 2012, and I started Watchmen on Walls as a it was a telephone ministry. I actually would do weekly conference calls. And I mean, it really met a need in the creative community because I felt the call of God to really minister to creative persons. I am a creative artist as an author and a scribe, as a playwright, you know, and so I'm really involved in creativity and the creative community. And so we started that community, and God has had us shifting it. And part of our move, part of our leaving that denomination was moving into this new region that we're in South Carolina. It borders North Carolina. We're about 15 minutes from Charlotte. And so since I've been here, I've been conducting monthly meetings with creative artists, primarily writers, because that's my dominant gift. And so, you know, whatever your gift is, that draws people to you. Just like, David, you're an author and a publisher. So most of the people who will be drawn to you will be persons in that same venue. So we've been doing monthly meetings at libraries where I've been really releasing people into their destiny as authors, writers, and scribes. And we're building something here. Eventually, I know, you know, God has already given me the vision for it. It will be a apostolic prophetic center of creative artists with a mandate to release art that brings people out of desolation. I believe one of the assignments when you are creative, you're a creative artist, and you have the call of God on your life, or you're pursuing that through God, that really your calling is to release light in darkness and to build in desolate places. And so that's one of the primary things that we do. We also have a online school, Creative Awakenings Academy, where I've been teaching. I've been doing a lot of teaching on breakthrough because we're really in a season of breakthrough. And so I've got an online class I'll be teaching on this coming Saturday. And so that is primarily what we do. But now we also have a job. We got a full-time job that we're going to have to get ready for and hit it when we're done with this interview. And we work with the youth movement, and I'm the director of a youth center. So all of that kind of converges in what God is doing through us right now.
I wanted to talk a little bit more about your calling, and we'll talk about your role as the youth director and also your calling and your role as an apostle. You did make reference to the book of Ephesians and also the fivefold ministry. I'll just read from the Bible, from the New International Version. This is chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Again, this is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. And the scripture reads, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Let's talk about how you are equipping people for works of service in your role as an apostle.
Okay, well, again, my primary calling, and it's twofold, but I'm called to the creatives, and as I said, how I engage or release people into their ministry or works of service is to impart in them what they're called to do, to strengthen them. I'll never forget one of my daughters, because again, this whole thing is about relationship. Apostles are fathers and mothers, and so most of the people who have come to me and stay with me, I call them sons and daughters. You know, they receive me as an apostle, as a father. And one of my first daughters who came to me through those conference calls, she was a writer, had just a lot of great, she had an anointing to write, but she didn't have the technical skills. She had never taken English or, you know, grammar. So she didn't know all of the the nuances that go along with writing. But my assignment in her life was to activate her into her full call and gifting, into her ministry or works of service as an author. And the Lord used me, because that's the grace that's on my office. That's the grace that's on the apostle, okay? And I built, and so I was able to build her up, okay? And she has now released about 3 books. And so it, you know, I believe that apostles, they are called to the church, but part of the problem with that is that if you have a religious mindset or a traditional mindset, you'll look at the office, or you'll look at the gift. I really prefer the term gift, because the passage said Jesus gave. And so these are gifts that he gives to his people and to the body of Christ. But we cover many venues. Now that I have left this religious system, the Lord has given me another mantle, and that is to bring people out of religion, to bring them out of those systems where they are trapped, where they're stuck, and where they are dying. Because the Bible says without prophetic revelation, the people will perish. And so many churches that don't operate in the apostolic, which is basically fathers and mothers raising up sons and daughters, equipping them and bringing them into maturity so that they can do what God is calling them to do. And then the prophetic is hearing the voice of God and releasing the heart and the intent of God. Okay. And so if the church or churches are not moving in that stream, then they're really missing God. And I see even an increase, because I believe that God is doing a new thing. I know that 2017 is going to be the 500. And if I'm getting off, you kind of bring me back, David, but 2017 will be 500 years after Martin Luther's Reformation. I believe that we're coming into a new Reformation, an apostolic prophetic Reformation, because what Martin Luther gave us is he gave us the pastoral model. And that's why many churches operate under a pastoral model. But it's the government. If you look in 1 Corinthians 12, the government rests upon the foundation of apostle, prophet, and teacher. And so whereas the pastor is a nurturing anointing, that's a nurturing gift. It's sort of like the doctor in a hospital, the nurse, the midwife. There's not a great building anointing in the gift of the pastor. So this is why I believe God is now raising up apostles and prophets, because we are coming to the end time. I'm not saying that the world is coming to an end. But I do believe that we're moving closer now to the end times, where Jesus Christ is coming back after his bride, and he's raising up gifts, governmental gifts, to really prepare his people.
Let's talk about 1 Corinthians 12 that you mentioned, and I'll start with the unity and diversity within the church body, and the gifts associated with it. Starting in verse 12, so this is 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 12. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of just one part, of many. I wanted to switch back to what we were talking about before. You made reference in just a moment ago about the religious system, and I wanted to relate that to the title of your book, Why I Left the Traditional Denominational Church. And you also made reference that people are dying, that they're outside of that body that I just read according to Scripture. Tell us how people are dying and falling away from that single body, even though we should be in unity, even with our diversity.
Well, it's really the I believe as I because I love church history. I'm somewhat of an amateur historian, but one of the things that I've looked at, the moves of God through history, starting, of course, it precedes Martin Luther, but from my vantage point, Martin Luther is probably, that was probably one of the major moves of God, because it brought the church out of death, out of a dead, corrupt system, and it breathed life into the body of Christ. But I believe one of the issues that we're facing is when movements, and this is a teaching I did some years ago, when movements become monuments. And so what we're seeing now is many, many denominations, they were a legitimate move of God. I'm not sure that the movement I was a part of ever was, but, you know, I do believe that many denominations was a genuine move of God. But if you stifle the move of God, if you don't drink from the Spirit, as you read, and I love the connection between drinking from the Spirit and the Spirit being the river that Ezekiel talks about in chapter 47. Without Holy Spirit, the movement becomes a monument. And so when man begins to build a house on the revelation, on the past revelation, but doesn't continue to build on the continual revelation, because revelation is like a river, it's always flowing. I'm not suggesting that we have to do away with the Bible or that revelation is out of the Bible. I've been a Christian now. I was saved when I was 8 years old, so that's 41 years. And there has just been seasons where God has opened my eyes. That's what revelation is. It's an uncovering, an unveiling. But many churches become stuck in past revelation. They build a movement on that revelation, and then they are not open to new revelation. So in the 1980s, one of the historical movements that I've studied in the 1980s, God restored the prophets to the house, even though there were prophets throughout the history of the church. There were prophets in the 60s and 70s. One of the prophets who I met, who's had great impact in the body of Christ, met him a couple of years ago. He died in 2015. He was a prophet in the 60s, but in the 80s, God restored the prophetic by raising up communities of prophets. 90s, he started to restore the apostle by raising up companies of apostles. And so what has happened is that the church is rejecting these gifts, because to embrace these gifts, a lot of churches, and I've seen this even in my own church, when I started bringing forth the prophetic reality, the apostolic nature of God, and I started teaching Ephesians 4, started imparting people the gift of prophesying, praying and speaking in the Spirit or in tongues, a lot of people were offended by that, because they believed that to embrace that meant that they were wrong. That's an issue of pride. Many churches are now operating in pride out, and they are defending their religious system because they believe, hey, if I embrace this, that means we were wrong. No, it doesn't mean you was wrong. It means that you are now coming into a new revelation. God is doing a new thing. He is opening your eyes to a new reality, and you embrace that. You build on the past, but don't stay stuck in the past. So this is why many believers are dying in these churches. These churches are operating out of a pastoral model. The pastor is the chief, and many times he's the only one doing ministry. The people are congregating to watch. There's a spirit of entertainment in the church where we just gather to watch the stars and the superstars perform, and there's no real body. There's no real building of the body or releasing people into their gifts. In the 90s, even when I was not prophetic, I wasn't operating in the apostolic, but God was calling me to teach spiritual gifts, and I learned that from one of the books that C. Peter Wagner released. And I used that book. And so that was really part of my building and entering into the apostolic and the prophetic years later. So this is why churches are dying, because if you're not being released, if you're not being built up, and if you're not being sent out, most churches are devoted to increasing their membership, getting as many people into their house to watch the pastor preach, to watch the praise team, the choirs. And we think we're building people up. But listen, if you are not bringing people into their own calling, into their ministry, and releasing them to do that, they are going to die. And that's what's happening in the church.
And as we wrap up in the next couple of minutes, tell us what you'll be doing as part of your calling to help people avoid that death that you just referred to. One of the things that you talked about shortly after this broadcast, you'll be working with the youth, which is our future.
Yes. Yes. Well, this is when God moved me to this area, he actually opened the opportunity for me to work in a youth movement, one of the largest youth movements in the United States. And so I am actually the director of a youth center. We currently have about 40 youth. We see about maybe 20 to 25 youth a day. I even see that as apostolic. It's not religious, you know, but it's apostolic because I have an opportunity to build broken children, to impart hope into children that are hopeless. A lot of my kids are African-American kids. They live in poor, you know, impoverished areas. A lot of them don't have dreams. So, I mean, this is just a great opportunity to impart in children and to bring them into hope and into their own destinies. And so, of course, I have to, you know, I'm doing it outside of the church, but it's still kingdom, because many of us are called to the kingdom. We are not called to the church. We're not called to buildings. The church that Jesus is building is announcing a kingdom. And so I'm very excited about that. I will work through Watchmen on Walls. That's our apostolic prophetic ministry. We'll be having workshops, and I'm actually going to be doing a 10-part workshop on writing to influence people. And so we'll be training in that. We have that meeting in Fort Mills at our public library. I also meet in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is the Queen City and Metropolitan. We meet there in the library. And then I've got my online school, Creative Awakenings Academy. We'll be doing monthly classes through that. So we're building the people of God and building a community of creative artists that hear the call of God to go forth and release light in darkness and to build in desolate places.
My guest today has been Apostle Bernard Bolton. He wrote the book, Why I Left the Traditional Denominational Church. It is a real-life account of Apostle Bernard Bolton and his prophetic reality and the revelation of the apostolic nature of God. Apostle, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, David.
This is Your World Discovered. My name is David Ewan, and this is EPN.